Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to talk to you about the unexpected interruption. Has anything ever interrupted your life that you weren't expecting? I know that answer to that before I ask it. Yes, it has. Man. But we're going to read here about an interruption that had happened. And so, you know that David was running from his own people, he was running from King Saul. And he also had defected, of all places, to the land of the Philistines and went to... And he abided in a city called Ziklag. That's where he was, Route 1, Ziklag. But let's notice the story here, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 5, and David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the Lord spoke, for the people, not the Lord, the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David strengthened himself. And the Lord his God, King James says, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Verse 17, the same chapter. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening the next day, for not a man of them escaped except 400 men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away captive, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that you'd open our hearts and to the truth and understanding of Scripture. I pray that you'd minister as only you can to the heart and the soul of every person here, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Unexpected interruptions. When is the last time your life has been interrupted by the unexpected? Was it a pleasant interruption? Like something you won? Hopefully you don't play the lottery. Or was it, believe it or not, I got a lottery ticket in the offering one time. Not here, different church. So that makes you feel better. Was it pleasant news that you received or unexpected news? 2 years, or not 2 years ago, a number of years ago, when I was pastoring my son Nathan, my first son, he was 2 years old. And that morning, it was a Sunday morning, he had dropped a heavy can of something on his toe. And he was in pain. And so how the church was then, we were in a grand total of about 6 or 8 people. That was total. That wasn't Sunday school. That was all. And we counted everything. And so Norma couldn't go to church that morning. She had to stay with Nathan because he was hurting. He was crying. It was a bad drop anyway. And so, guess who got to do everything? I had to play the piano, I had to lead worship, and I had to preach. And I thought, God, can any good come out of this? That was not an interruption that I wanted, but it happened. At the end of the service, a man that I'd never seen before and didn't know his name, and I still don't know his name. I should have, but I didn't. I met him. And just before he left, he handed me a $20 bill. And $20 bill then meant something. It would buy something. Man. But it was not an interruption that I wanted. I wanted the last one, but not the one about Nathan dropping the thing on his toe. But here, David would have a devastating interruption in his life. And he would have to deal with this when he came back to his city, burned with fire, all of his family and all of his men, the wives and children were stolen. But let me tell you something. God graciously interrupted humanity when he sent his son from heaven, Jesus, allowed his perfect, sinless son and his eternally holy dwelling in heaven to be interrupted to make a way of deliverance for lost humanity. We think, what did Jesus leave? What did God leave when Jesus left and he left heaven to come down to here? It wasn't a good scene. He came into a sinful world where there was dying, there was crime, there was fighting, there was killing. And he came from a perfect heaven where that would never happen and will never happen. And so we know that that's just the way of humanity today. You can read it you can see it on the news if you still read the news, or if you put it together on the internet or on the TV or wherever you get news at. And just while I'm at it, I urge you to read the good news. It's right here. And so things happen, and life is full of unexpected things. Here, David and his men had not anticipated the invasion of the Amalekites, and the Amalekites were a longtime enemy of Israel. They were descendants of Esau, I believe. And things have happened, unexpected things. Do you have, like, you didn't think that certain people would react a certain way, or people you thought were trustworthy, honest, and upright, but they proved to be some other way? That hurts. And people close to you who have behaved foolishly, and yet they're not sorry about it, but you said, surely they're sorry of what they did, but they weren't. Unexpected things, unexpected of loss. Loss of companion, wives, husbands, children. You know, somebody told me they had one they'd like to lose, but they didn't really mean it, I don't think. Or lose possessions that were carried away and there was nothing left. In my hometown, we had a pastor for a while. He wasn't a pastor there in my hometown church, but he was just getting into the ministry. And on a particular day, a fire got loose in his house and burned down his house and everything that he had. And he lost it all. And we wonder what his reaction would be. And he was good reaction. I hope it's what me and yours would be. And he said, well, I've lost all my goods, all my earthly goods. He said, all I've got is my wife and my Bible and God. Amen. Well, that's good. And he went on and became a very successful man in the ministry. Over the years, he's gone on to be to heaven now. And so things unexpected happen. And here they come to their city. All their possessions were stolen. Their city was burned with fire. The houses and burned with anything that was burnable was burned. Anything that would catch fire, I mean, they didn't even call the volunteer fire department. I mean, it all burned down to destruction. Nothing left. And complete destruction of everything they had built. Homes for their children, for their families, for their wives, shelters for their livestock, and all the things that you build when you establish a home. And the Amalekites had come in. The Amalekites were a nomadic peoples. And they were a people that went from place to place. When they ran out of stuff, they just robbed and killed and destroyed a town and took whatever they had. And that's the way they did it. That is the kind of world that Jesus came into. And the way that God still deals with humanity in a sinful world today, but he's provided a means of salvation for us. And so all these people could hope for, David and his men were, graciously there were no murders, but all the people were captives, taken captive, which meant then in that time that they would become slaves to the Amalekites. Slavery there was awful. It would be compared today as human trafficking. And all the things that would become of their family, their wives, their children, only they could imagine what would happen. But you see, Jesus came to a world and you and I all were slaves of sin. Because whatever controls you becomes your master. If sin is your master, then sin controls you. Amen. If prostitution controls some people, then they're a slave to prostitution. Some people are slave to various habits you want to walk, you want to think about. Habits of, you can name all kinds of habits that you want to. If it's tobacco, if it's alcohol, if it's something else, if it's drugs of every kind that's been mentioned, if it's meth. Whatever controls your life, you become a servant to that thing and you can't let go of it. And it takes God to set you free. But He can set you free. You say, well, He can't set me free. He's set free worse than you and me. Okay, so the unexpected happened there. And if you can imagine the mentality or the type of attitude these people were in when they found out everything they had was gone, what would your reaction be if this happened to you? I'm sure you're imagining things already. If it's me, I'd take them to the cleaners. I mean, I don't know if that's a good way to put it or not. It's not bad enough. But it says here that when they found this out, what had happened to them, they wept until they had no more power to weep. They were grief-stricken. Man. And they were distressed. And they didn't know what to do. Their wives taken captive. And so they were very sad. Verse 4. David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were overcome with grief. And grief's hard to deal with. And grief over somebody that you've lost that's close to you. You know, somebody comes along, some smart aleck comes along and said, oh, just get over it. You don't just get over it. You learn to live with it. And God gives you the grace and the strength to walk on in that thing, at the loss that you've had. And so we find here that it didn't just go away. They wept till they had no more power to weep. I remember years ago when my granddad passed away and my dad was grief-stricken, of course. But he went down to the field, and they were farmers. And he walked over and over in that field that he and his dad had plowed and grown food and sold food, and that's the way they made their living. And Dad told me, he said, I wept and I cried until I couldn't cry anymore. But he said, then the peace of God came over me, and I wasn't sad or grieved anymore, because his dad was a Christian. He went to heaven, you know. But still, he'd passed away, heart attack at 70 years old. And so, God does not ever leave us. And He didn't just say, you deal with it yourself the best way you can. No, the Bible says on the cross, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So that you won't grieve alone and you won't carry everything by yourself, because God carries you. There's time, how many times has God carried you through things you know you couldn't have gone through yourself? Man, I've seen people go through things that think, you know, we all say, Lord, I hope that doesn't happen to me. But if it does happen to you, I want to tell you His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. He's stronger than you are. He's more powerful than you are. You're not going to face anything that's too big for the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Some of you may be grief-stricken, or you're disappointed by failures or things or relatives that or close to you that have done things that you didn't like and you didn't think they could ever do that. Maybe today you're brokenhearted. I don't know. A broken heart is difficult to deal with, because there's always somebody that'll say there, you know, it'll be all right now in a few days. Get over it, you know. There's things you can just get over, but there's some things you can't just get over. You need God's help. You need time. And so Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. I mean, Luke 4:18 says it all. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. Jesus came to heal. And he does many times. Jesus interrupted people's lives wherever he was. They were not used to his teaching. He didn't make them mad or angry. He made the Pharisees and Sadducees mad. They were just fair and sad. Anyway, you see, it's an old joke. And so they went there and whatever Jesus, as a matter of fact, Jesus interrupted a funeral procession one time and saved a widow's only son from death and raised him up. That's a good interruption. I'd like to see one of them myself. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Here David and his men were in the land of the Philistines, a land of Israel's enemies, and everything and everybody they loved were in danger. What could they do? Because you see, sin always leaves you with a place where there's nowhere to go. Whether it is in wealth, poverty, health, sickness, wellness, sin always leaves you without answers. That's the reason that people that are millionaires commit suicide sometimes. Because they just can't think of any other reason to live. My friend, you have a reason to live. Don't ever contemplate taking your own life. You leave that in God's hands. God is in charge of life and death. Don't put yourself in the place of God. It's wrong. You say, well, I know people that have, I know the people that have too, but it's between you and God. Amen. And so here, no doubt imagination sets in. And what are they doing with my wife? They knew what they were doing. My daughter, rape, incest from people who had no morals of any kind, had the moral code of a barnyard. They didn't have any morals. And so the Amalekites were not people you wanted to be captive to. You didn't want to be captive to anybody, but surely not the Amalekites, for they're wicked people. So imagination sets in. And you know, when something bad happens in the natural man, everybody always looks for somebody to blame. Surely it wasn't my fault, so I'll blame somebody else. Even if it was my fault, I'll blame somebody else so it won't look like me. How many of you have seen that? And so they began to pass the blame. Let's notice in verse 6, so David is greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, throwing rocks at him till he was dead. That's not a pleasant thing. I don't know by experience. I hope I never do know. But they spoke of stoning David. That was a means of execution of their day. Because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And so we know there that the people were grieved. So they said, surely there's a cause for this. Surely there's a reason for this. David's our leader, and this happened while he was a leadership. Well, surely it was David's fault, so we just need to stone him, get rid of a guy like that. But David would become the greatest king ever Israel ever had during his lifetime. But in verse 6, the last part of it, it says, but David strengthened himself, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And so David, how am I going to deal with this God? But David had seen God deal with so many things. And so he turned to God for help. It's what we have to do in times when we can't explain things. Man. Perhaps David just began to remember. You know, when I was a shepherd boy, I remember a lion came out after my sheep and a bear did also. I don't know which is worse. But the Spirit of God came upon David and he was able to save the sheep and get rid of the bear and the lion. But even a bigger trial would come on David's life later on when they were fighting against the same people that they were in the land of, the Philistines. He surely had to remember Goliath when Goliath came along and began to curse David by his God. And the Philistine boasted, said, are you out of your mind, Israel? You seemed a boy to me. And he was just a small boy, I guess. Anyway, he was a boy. He wasn't a man. He wasn't a giant. Like Goliath was 8 foot tall. And so David went out there with a sling and a stone. And so Goliath would be the first one that got stoned. Take that however you want to. But anyway, surely David remembered that Tactish once stoned from God conquered the impossible. And God, I do believe, directed the stone in Goliath's head. It hit him between the eyes and sank into his forehead, and he fell down on the ground dead. And David ran and got on top of him, pulled out Goliath's sword, and cut off his head with his own sword. So here David encouraged or strengthened himself in the Lord. This was not his first, you know, this wasn't his first rodeo. He had been hit hard times before, powerful times before, but God had helped him. And so he trusted God to help him now. And so we know that David strengthened himself in the Lord. He said, God, this is you. It's you that's got to do this. These people have stolen everything we've had. They've burned up all our possessions. We don't have anything left. God, we must have your help. My friend, there will come times in your life where the only answer is God. I'm not prophesying that anything bad will happen to you, but I am telling you when they do happen, we have a God that's all powerful, all knowing, all present, who's not turned his back on you, who will not turn his back on you, but he will walk you through no matter what. He's the Lord. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. Praise God. There's a psalm. In the Psalms, or Israel's songbook, I've tried to sing a few of them. Some of them I just can't sing. Sometimes I just can't sing anyway. Some of you know that. But there's a psalm here in Psalms chapter 40. And where David had to depend upon the Lord, and he said, let's just say, I don't know if this was where David was when he wrote this psalm, but let's just say it was. Psalms 41, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. And it says here that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And it says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and has set my feet on a rock and established my steps. And surely David looked over this situation where the Amalekites had destroyed everything he had. Only God can help me here. But he said, God is going to bring me up out of a horrible pit. He's going to bring me out of the miry clay. He's going to set my feet up on a rock. He's going to establish my steps. He's going to put a new song in my heart. And I can tell you at that time, David didn't have anything to sing about, because everything that he had been stolen. But he had a word from God here. Verse 7, David calls on Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, bring me the ephod here. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. The ephod was a priestly garment connected with seeking a word or the will of God, determining the will of God for a certain thing. And so they heard from God this way. And verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake? How am I going to get my wives back? How am I going to get everything back if there's anything left? Because they didn't know but what they were all dead. And so God answered him through the priest here, and he says, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. What a promise that is to God. God says, you're going to recover everything that you think you've lost. Amen. And so God's word was, go. Verse 8. He said, pursue, you shall overtake them. And God was just saying, just trust me, you'll recover all. My friend, let's trust God. I don't know what this world is facing. I don't know what our nation is facing. I don't sit around and worry about it all the time. I listen to too much news, because most of it's bad news. And so, but I listen to it sometimes and try to figure out which one's lying the most. Not really. But God says, trust me. And he's saying that to us today. Just trust me. I've got this. I can handle this. I've been there. I've done that. You know, God's got experience in dealing with people like me and you forever. For 6,000 or 8,000 years, however long it's been. Amen. Ever since you came from a monkey to a man. You know I don't believe that. Had a man tell me one time he believed that mankind was just a smart monkey. And the guy that told me that, I didn't think he was very smart. I was working a secular job. I told him I had a banana in my lunchbox. He could have it if he wanted. Anyway. So God says, just trust me, you will recover everything. God said, they've burned everything. And they've got my wives and children. They've got all my son, all my men. They've got all their wives and children. God, how are we going to recover anything? But David obeyed. He didn't sit around and reason to God. And he defeated Amalek. And all his wives, his sons, and his daughters, and all of the people, they recovered all, everything. Amen. Verse 19 of that chapter says, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken from them. David recovered all. And David would tell you, it wasn't me that recovered everything. It was God that helped me because I trusted in Him. Our greatest need is to learn to bring everything to God. Let me ask you something. Have you done things you think God can't forgive? Have you been places and done things you think God has no pardon for me? Am I ridden with guilt for what I've done? I can't undo what I've done, so God won't have somebody like me? Yes, He will. Amen. Not without repentance, but with repentance, He will have someone like you and someone like me. Amen. Because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We didn't deserve anything that God gave us. God gave it because He loved us and cared for humanity, whom created in His own likeness and image. And it tells us here in the book of Philippians, He says, don't be anxious for anything. Basically, don't worry about anything. That would be a great improvement for many people. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, David here, he encouraged himself to the Lord. He said, God, I can't handle this. I need your help. And so he did the right thing. He made his request made known unto God in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe here that David didn't immediately have peace of God. Anything he wanted to hang high every Amalekite he thought about. But it says, just turn it over to God and let God's peace rule your heart. Because you see, friend, if you don't let God rule your heart, peace will never rule your heart. Only confusion and anger and all the things that come out and grief and sorrow will rule your heart. But God says here, let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts and mind. And that guard your heart is a military term that actually means let God stand guard over your heart. Anything that threatens your peace, or if you're ready to do something that's going to take peace away from you, God stands guard over you and say that you're not going to have peace if you do this or say that or go there, here or go there. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Guard your heart. Amen. And mine is through Christ Jesus. And so, no, in the end, God restored all. Verse 16. And when he had brought him down there, they were spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. And here were the Amalekites. They were having a high heel time, so to speak. I don't think they had high heels then, but anyway. They were living it up because they had taken a lot of spoil. They had a lot of things. They had girls, women, they had sons, they had daughters, they had all of this stuff, and they robbed, no doubt, all silver and gold, anything that was worth anything. They stole it and had it with them. They were having a good time here. But they didn't know God or David's God at all. Verse 17, then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Amen. And so David, verse 18, recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing was lacking. I want to tell you, God restores and can restore and does restore. He restores what the enemy has stolen from you. God restores peace. He restores hope. He restores love. He restores relationships. He restores people that have fallen where they think they can't get up again. God can pick you up. And God restores marriages. God restores relationships. God restores peace, hope, and endurance. Ultimately, God gives victory. And God comforts. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as He's called in Scripture. And He comforts all people. Old King James says He comforts the feeble-minded. And I know you can take that and say, well, I know a lot of feeble-minded people. No, God comforts people. And at the cross, Jesus brought hope, brought forgiveness, brought love, brought restoration of fellowship, and a clean heart and mind and life. We must never forget that we are forgiven. And we're accepted by God. That we'll be redeemed by the blood of His cross. And that we'll be sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. And because of the cross, we're restored to relationship to God, which the enemy had stolen before. But God restores and renews. Praise the Lord.